Get it? The Bird Show.
The perception I have about people in very healthy relationships is that they are absolutely obsessed with each other. It's like they're attached at the hip. You cannot get them to spend a moment apart from each other. So when I heard from TikTok user Amy Jo Martin that it's actually healthier for some people to live apart, I felt a little bit skeptical.
I have a few friends that they don't live with their husband. They have two houses.
And people might think that's so bizarre and weird, but it works for them. And I think a lot more people would probably do better if they had that. Right? Like, why not? They just like their own space. It's not like they're in an open relationship or something. They just know they do better and thrive when they don't live under the same roof. Dr. Gay Hendricks talks about relationships, and you know how we sometimes say, like, oh, my other half? Well, that's assuming that you're only half of a human and that you need the other half to be a whole human, and that's like a recipe for divorce. You got to bring 100% and 100% to the table, and they're two separate humans. And hopefully, you don't lose your independence, you don't lose yourself, but you can still be connected and tethered to someone and have it be amplified, like 1 + 1 = 11, not, hey, let's split ourselves in half.
There's two sides of me that have opinions on this. And the first side is that, what do you mean you want to spend time apart? Like every couple I've ever known that really loves each other, like the thought of being apart for them is distressing. And also in this economy, like who's affording two houses? But then there's the other side of me that has more of an avoidant attachment style. And I'm like, you know what? It actually makes a lot of sense. Like if you're going to sign up for 70 years with someone, spending a couple evenings, and by a couple, I mean like Monday through Friday, spending that time apart, does kind of make a lot of sense for longevity.
Yeah, this opinion that people should spend every waking moment with each other because they love each other so much is such a 27-year-old thing to say.
Well, that's good because I'm 28.
Okay, 28. So you know how I felt about this. I've been on this bandwagon now for a while where marriage does not scare me. Living together has scared me. Like just falling into the routine where it doesn't feel special has scared me before also. I think I've come on here before also and said that, man, the perfect scenario would be to find my person and then not live together. I am going to go ahead and soften my stance on
that. I hear you.
Okay.
In light of recent events?
Yeah, for a couple of different reasons. And I'm going to be talking at all sorts of sides of my mouth right now. Where do I start here?
At the beginning.
So I think that was my original game plan. There is a part of me now that really does. Life is not nearly as good without Amanda around. I want her around like all the time, right? Anything I do now just doesn't feel like, you know, for lack of a better term, a cliche. It doesn't feel complete. Like I want to do these things with her. But I also have my history knowing that my DNA is somebody that needs that kind of independence. So I'm kind of waffling back and forth. So we are getting married in March, and I have been thinking about this living situation for so long now. And to be honest with you, her son changes the game for me. It really does. Like, but I'm also trying to avoid making a mistake that I've made before in the past of doing things out of obligation, but not out of authenticity, which probably led to some really bad relationships or the way that I've handled the bad relationships. So I do not want to do that. I don't want to like immediately go like, well, this is what people are supposed to do. We're married. We should be living under the same roof immediately. So I don't know what the timing of it is going to be. I could probably talk more about this next week because there are other things in play. But we will be living together. I don't know when that is. But I do feel like I don't want Asa growing up in an environment where he's got his dad and his fiance are already living under the same roof. So it almost feels like a nuclear family there, and it feels like a different dynamic, and they come over to my house and then I go over to their house. It doesn't feel like family yet, and I don't want him growing up in that. But I also want to be really authentic with myself and try, and Amanda and I have been so honest with each other about this, to try to figure out something that works for both of us, because she's as equally independent as I am. I just don't want to feel obligated to do it, because that I'm playing long ball with this girl. This is my forever woman. So I want to do what's right for the long run and I'm a little bit confused on how to handle it, to be honest with you. Does that make some sense?
It does. I love you. I don't think you're as independent as you think you are. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think that is now the realization, because it's so funny how we see ourselves and then how other people see us, right? And I appreciate your stance on needing space, but you need space. I think it's maybe your ADD, ADHD, whatever. You need space, but then 5 minutes after space, then you need people. And yeah. it's quick, because I do feel, I do believe you that you believe that you're very independent and you need space. And I think in that initial 5 minutes you do, but then once you get it, you realize, no, I need my person.
I don't know, man. The last 2 days I've been over at my place and they've been over at their place. Whew, man, it's been so silent in that house. Mm-hmm. And I got to do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the last 2 days that this is going to be going away next year.
It is.
This is going to be going away. So while I do agree with you, like if there was no Asa, I think lying me would say it would be great for us to live apart, but reality me would say, I don't want to live without that woman.
I think part of the problem, because you're speaking to my soul in terms of like needing the alone time and the space, is when you're really infatuated with someone, like you would be with your fiance before you get married, you do everything together. Like you're attached at the hip. And then I think typically, a lot of couples will wake up after they've been married for a couple of years and realize they have nothing for themselves, just for themselves. Because think about it, if you're privileged enough, your entire life, you've had at least your own room. Or if you're in college, half of a room, you know, and it's your stuff on the walls, and you can do whatever you want in that space. And now all of a sudden, you kind of have to run every single thing by someone else. Do you like this dresser? Is this the bed we should get? Can I hang this piece of art mm-hmm. up? And everything becomes this communal decision, and you can't just do something that you want. So one thing Chad and I are looking at as we eventually move back into our house.
You guys are going to live in two separate RVs?
No. Yeah, imagine sharing that space. Is we're getting rid of the guest room and we're going to turn that into a space just for him. And then there's another space just for me. And I think what that's going to do is we are going to have like a retreat essentially under the same roof, but that space will be off limits to everyone else unless like you're invited in. Decorated exactly the way you want it. That is your space. And that's going to give us a place to go to when we need to check out or we need some alone time without having to go to a separate house. And it's going to give us a space where I don't like his Gundam like plastic robots. I'm not into that. Right now, they're in the living room. They're in the RV. We have limited space in the RV, and I have to look above the TV, and there's a plastic robot. But he gets such joy out of them. So I buy him display cases for it because I want him to be happy. I just don't want to see it. But when you have the same house and you're able to carve out your own personal space in that house, I feel like that's a good compromise for people who can't afford mm-hmm. two houses. Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if being independent is a story you've told yourself because you've been in relationships that have brought out that side from you. And maybe this is a naive notion, but I do think that there are right relationships for you and wrong relationships for you. And I do think that sometimes people fall into these wrong relationships that do bring out the independent in them or mm-hmm. the need for space. Whereas maybe you're in the right relationship where you're drawing upon past experiences where you thought in those relationships, I needed space. I wanted more independence. Whereas this relationship brings out better qualities in you that maybe don't rely on that kind of independence anymore.
I really honestly thought that there would be a finish line on learning about yourself.
No, nope.
There's no finish line.
There's not.
There's not. It keeps getting moved.
Yeah, it's really annoying, man.
It really is. I'm so over it, man.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Oh, so I have been dodging a man. Speaking of independence, I have been really leaning on my independence because there is a man in the United Kingdom right now that thinks he is my boyfriend. And I am using every tool book in my independent avoidant attachment style arsenal to get rid of him. So a little bit of a backstory. A couple weeks ago when we were on vacation, I did this big girls trip to Greece. And on the last couple of days, I had two back-to-back dates sort of with this man that I met at a bar who is British, which is just very ironic considering mm-hmm. my history last year where I was also kind of seeing a man in England. And he's just like a lovely dude. He's just so, so kind and was just... Oh, looking out for me while we were out at the bars in this foreign country. And he had this friend that we were hanging out with that was hanging out with my friend. And it was just this really lovely experience. But for me, that's all it kind of was just a fun little jaunt while we were out in Greece, having really no connections and wanting to meet new people and be young and explore and do all the things. But the problem is this man has fallen head over heels in love with me. And he has texted me every...
How dare he
fall in love with me?
It must be so difficult for you where that's always going to be an option for dudes as soon as they meet you.
That's not the case with everybody. Like I said, I'm not really popular with a lot of guys, but with the guys that I am popular with, they would marry me tomorrow.
Like guys in America.
I need to find guys in America. I mean, yeah. I really think maybe just my future boyfriend is not from America because clearly I'm going for 2 for 2. But yeah, with the guys that I am popular with, they're just like obsessed with me. So this man has been hitting me up every hour on the hour. This man just really thinks that this is a possibility. He's talking about flying to Atlanta. He wants to see me. And I told him while we were in Greece, I'm like, this is not it, dude. Like, I think he's great, but he's just not my guy.
So let me establish this. If he was your guy, uh-huh. If the chemistry was there, you just found everything. He's checking all the boxes, even though he was in Greece or England or whatever. Would you make it work?
Absolutely. But the problem is he's not in America and he's not my guy. So the reality is like he's putting in all this effort for something that is just not going to come to fruition.
Okay.
And I think when I date guys and I know that it's not going anywhere, I feel a personal responsibility to do something about it because I wouldn't want to be led on. And so I was vocalizing that in Greece that I was like, I don't really know where you think this is going, buddy, but he just keeps hitting me up. And so I have been employing some of my avoidant tactics to try and get rid of this man. So I was showing my friends these text messages over the weekend.
What's that movie from back in the day, the Kate Hudson movie, How to Lose a Guy
in 10 Days?
In 10 days. You need to watch that movie again.
It's been 10 days at this point.
You know what happens though at the end of the movie?
They end up together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he kills her.
No, jeez.
Okay.
That is How to Lose a Girl in 10 Days.
Also, this is not, he's not Matthew McConaughey by any means. So anyway, it has been 10 days and I have still yet to lose this man. And I was showing my friends the text messages and they were laughing because they were like, how has this guy not gotten the message that you want nothing to do with him romantically?
A crazy idea. Is it possible that this guy just wants a green card?
So possible.
It is possible.
100% possible.
There's nothing you could say, and he wants this green. He's going to get to the country and then dump you.
Probably.
Okay.
So this guy on his mission to get a green card has been sending me paragraphs, has been sending me plans to come to the States, and every single one of my text messages has just said, yeah, cool, same, haha, no idea, yeah. And he just keeps on going and going and going and going and
going. So you're literally giving him nothing.
I am like doing the virtual equivalent of grunting into the microphone.
Abby, this is on you. This is all on you.
What, for being so lovable and attractive to the male species that there's nothing I can do to get rid of them?
Not what I was thinking. It's just that, why don't you just tell the guy, look, there's absolutely no shot here. No, this is not going to happen. Rather than saying yes or... even having any kind of back and forth with him whatsoever, why don't you just say, absolutely not, no. It's over.
I've already told him that. Like, when we were at a bar in Greece, I was like, this isn't going anywhere, my guy. And he was like, ha, ha, ha. And he, like, just plugged his ears and was like, la, 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 la. So this is on him at this point. And to be honest... It's kind of inflating my ego.
Okay, now we're getting to it. All right. So if you're going to continue to do that for your ego, then you can't complain that he's going to continue to hit you up.
I'm not complaining. I'm just telling a ha-ha, he-he story on the radio for this job I get paid for that this man is going to, not the ends of the earth, he's willing to go to Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in order to either A, get his green card, or pursue this woman who he thinks is the love of his life.
That is the end of the earth.
Well, I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
So Kristen got me into an interesting rabbit hole this morning. She was talking about watching the original Star Wars with her 4-year-old yesterday, right?
Yes. So he, on the way home from school the other day, he was asking about the robots. It took me a hot second, but I'm like, oh, he's talking about R2-D2 and BB-8. And it got me thinking, I'm like, he's 4? He can watch Star Wars. And I pulled it up, rated PG. I'm like, sure. So he sat there and watched the very first Star Wars that came out in theaters back in 1977.
Dang, man.
And that was Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And it was, oh my God, it was so nostalgic. And I wasn't expecting that at all. I thought, like, I was going to catch a break, put his, like, you know, as he calls it, his little TV, which is his tablet in front of him.
his medium screen.
He calls it his little TV. And he sat there and watched it, but I'd pop over and he's like commenting on it. And then he starts talking to his dad about it. And his dad was a Star Wars fan growing up. Cause like, what kid wasn't? Mm-hmm. And my brother was. And I was like, oh man, like this is a canon event. And I didn't even realize it was happening. And as I was sitting there listening to the storyline and watching it, and I was like, oh, it's still good. Yeah. It's still very watchable.
And that's where I was going online this morning, is like, some of these things are attached to your childhood. So when you watch them, you want to have the same emotions. But then as an adult, you're looking at it and go, this really sucks. So I did a search on which movies stand the test of time. That's what I was looking for. That's not what I got.
What did you find?
What I got was movies that don't stand the test of time because they're so not PC, they can never be made now.
There's okay? A lot of those.
So let me run a couple of these by you guys.
Okay.
You'll attach to this first one, Kristen. They say Sex and the City 2 from 2010.
Go to the Middle East?
Like Abu Dhabi or something?
I have no idea. I didn't see it.
It's already an objectively terrible movie. It didn't stand the test of time in 2011.
Yeah, it
did. So it's just a bad movie,
And the first one is one of my favorite movies. The second one is heinous.
Yeah, the second one did not live up to the first one.
This one just says it was majorly problematic from the start. I don't understand how it ever got made. What was problematic about it? The way he was treating her?
I don't remember it being problematic. I remember it being a bad storyline. I remember that scene where Charlotte and Miranda are drinking and crying about how much they don't like being moms.
Yep,
that's about it.
Yeah, I have no recollection of why.
Okay. This one comes from 1984. And if you're from that time, this was so in your heart. 16 Candles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It says it has aged terribly. The dream boy Jake Ryan talks about the ways he can take advantage of his girlfriend. Also, Ted repeatedly climbs on top of Samantha despite her protests. And it's depicted as funny and innocent because he's a little nerd.
Yeah. It's there's some uncomfortable, non-consensual moments.
Rush Hour in 1998. Carter made so many racist remarks towards Lee throughout the films. Here's one here. Carter, I'm warning you, man. You better call the FBI or I'm going to drop his ass off at Panda Express. Can't do it now.
Yeah, no. Probably can't. Yeah, can't crack.
What's the movie that has Long Dong Duck in it? Because you definitely can't do that anymore.
Oh, is that
was 16 Candles?
Oh, yeah. Add that to the list. 16 Candles also. Pretty Woman in 1990. Edward hires a sex worker, then just changes her into a housewife. It's just weird to me.
I mean, it's a fantastical storyline, which is why it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be made today, though?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. The Waterboy.
What? Okay.
Adam Sandler, 1998. Think about it. Bobby seems to have some sort of disability and is emotionally manipulated by his teammates to play football, all while constantly belittling him as he's taking college classes. There's also so much uses of the R word and so many jokes at Bobby's expense.
Oh, yeah. No, he's bullied throughout the entire movie.
Couldn't happen. Cruel Intentions in 1999. It was just so creepy to watch stepbrother and stepsister betting on if he could get the new girl to give him her virginity. And if he won, his stepsister would let him sleep with her.
Yeah, it was, again, fantastical storyline, but that's why it was a movie.
It's actually the state movie of Alabama.
I think that could still be made today because they painted it in a bad light.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't being celebrated.
It wasn't being glorified.
No.
And the last was The Hangover. Racist, sexist, homophobic, on and on and on. Could never be made today.
The Bert Show.
All right, so we were going to get into entertainment buzz here, but our show director, Tommy, says we have a priority call. And when Tommy talks, we listen nearly 5% of the time. And this is going to be one of those 5%. Hey, Ashley, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. This needs immediate attention, Tommy says. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I made like kind of a big decision. I'm going to quit my job today.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I feel good about it. It needs to happen because the situation at work is just, it's just gotten out of hand. And yeah, I need to take care of it. So I'm going to do that today.
Okay. Well, I'll just ask you straight up, like, what's the history here of work?
Yeah. I've been at the company for like 3 years. Just, you know, in like a sort of mid-level role. And yeah, it's been all right, but recently there's been like a situation that's been really, really frustrating to me, and it's just reached the point that I can't with it anymore. So,
do you have something else lined up? Or are you just going in there like, I can't take it anymore, I'm out of here?
Honestly, no, I don't have a backup plan, which I know sounds stupid, but, I'm just hoping like that, I don't know, like making the situation right will carry me through in some way or another. Yeah, I'm just trusting myself and hoping for the best.
Okay, so what can we help you with? You looking for a job?
Are we hiring?
Because Abby's on the fence every day.
I really just want to know like what you guys, that like, I want to know that I'm right to do this. So I just want to hear like what you guys think about the situation, because yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like completely unreasonable. And I don't know. I just want to have like an outside ear, I guess, to like affirm that for myself.
I kind of feel like we need to know more.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, I'm going to need you to define frustrating. I'm going to need the story. I'm going to need names. Like what could be so bad that you're willing to step out on a limb in this economy, give up your health insurance, give up your income? And like, how bad could it be?
Okay. So basically, like I said, I've been at the company for 3 years and I've been pretty happy for the most part, but like, I haven't really been able to like, just like climb, you know, like get those promotions and stuff. And recently there's been another person who has been getting a lot of opportunities. And it's because they're having an affair with my married boss. And I have proof of it.
Like a tape?
And I have a couple different forms of proof. I have like some emails, an email sent directly to me by mistake, like hotel receipts. Even a coworker of mine even got a photo of them. So like, it's definitely happening. And like, again, like, you know, whatever. People's personal life, like, I'm not here to out everyone's affair, you know, but like this person, this woman is getting all of these opportunities that like I've been working for so hard the whole time I've been at this company. You know, she's relatively new, only been here 6 months. And like, she's just getting like put at the like front of the list for all of these like important job opportunities. And to me, that's just like completely insane, you know?
So it's created an unfair dynamic at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
yeah, you might be going to the wrong person though. Instead of going to your boss, you might be wanting to go to HR.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to suggest blackmail, but I mean, yeah, HR is HR is a good choice.
I guess maybe HR would be the safer road, but I just feel like I need to confront him, you know, just like for myself.
So you're not just going to go in and quit. You're going to go in, you're going to quit, and you're going to out the affair as the reason why you're quitting.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to tell him that I know everything. Like, I'm going to show him this email that accidentally got, I mean, he knows that he sent me this email. Like, that's the crazy part. So he sent me this email, right? Like 2 weeks ago. It was meant for Little Miss Hussey. And the email read, okay, I'm going to read it. Last night was amazing. You looked incredible. Let's book the same hotel next month, but for the Dallas conference. And then a little winky face. He literally tried to unsend it, but I was on my phone, so I saw it and got a screenshot of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're doing it.
Yeah, you're probably on that right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's... I don't know. I'm in such a place where I'm like, it just feels like you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I can say that because I got a nose job. So I really feel like you're just shooting yourself in the foot here. Whereas I think you have every right to be frustrated. I think you have every right to come up with a genius blackmail plan or to go to HR. But I think really, like, the smart thing for you is, if you really feel like you're going to get, if you're getting passed up for all these opportunities, why not just find a different opportunity while you still have your paycheck?
And, you know, you're not responsible for saying exactly why you're taking off. So I'm not really sure what that will accomplish, except drama.
Yeah, I mean, you're just kind of stirring the pot here, and you're letting their mistake negatively affect you.
I mean, if you want to quit, quit. I just don't know that. What do you think here, Kristen? Do you think that all the evidence and, you know, and saying exactly why she's taken off is going to be helpful?
I mean, if you want to stick it to your boss, it sounds to me like you're fed up, right? Like, you've been receiving unfair treatment and, like, you're over this place. And I don't blame you for being over this place. So if you want to stick to your laurels and you want to go in there and you want to blow this thing up, then, you know, it sounds like that's where you are right now.
I just need to, like, get it off my chest, you know, and I think, like, I will after I confront him. I think I'm going to go to HR and file, like, a formal complaint, and I will submit all my evidence. You know, I have my copies of everything, and, like, I'll take the formal route too. But, like, I just feel like, I don't know. I just need to go in. I mean, I'm literally outside right now.
All right, hold on one second here. I want you to do this in the proper order. And the only way to do that really is to talk to somebody from HR. And here's Sarah, a virtual listener, who's in HR. Hey, Sarah, you're listening to this whole thing go down. What should she do?
Oh, my gosh, you need to go to HR first. If you go to the boss first, you have lost all of your ability to do anything about this. I mean, what's happening is wrong, and that's why human resources is there. They're there to help you and the company when something wrong is happening. If they are blocking your ability to move up in the company because someone's doing something improper at work, this is what HR is for. Please, oh, please don't ruin your career for somebody else's mistake.
Oh, I'm so glad we took this call. Sarah, so she should go to HR first. She should file the complaint and not quit today?
Quitting today is kind of your call. If you have reached your fill with the company, then there you go. But without having a safety net, without having something to go to, this is a bad time to not have a job. I'm watching a lot of friends who are in trouble.
So if she goes to HR and she has all of this evidence and presents it and then quits, should she go in there with the intent of, like, continuing to get paid, or what's the intent here?
I mean, that's the other part of it, is if you go in and you say, hey, here's all this evidence, drop that bomb, boom, and then quit, fine, great, but they don't really have to do anything about it because the person who brought the complaint is gone. So if you go in and you say, here's the complaint, do something, then the company has to do something.
It has
to respond in some way.
It really does feel to me, Ashley, like if you want to make sure this isn't happening to other women in the office, that this is the route to go, is go to HR and don't quit just yet. See the adjustments that they can make it work before you quit your job.
But if you do have your heart set on quitting, I think there's a step she needs to add in before confronting the boss. And that is going on TikTok, pressing record, going live, getting it all on the record. That way people know you're looking for a job. You're going to go super viral. And that creator fund, not too bad to keep the paycheck rolling in the meantime.
We call this segment Advice from a Gen Zer. Thank you for calling, Sarah. Ashley, I think you got some really great advice there from Sarah. You have something to chew on. So before you angrily go into the boss's office, think about it, and then whatever you do, please check back with us, okay?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to think about it, I guess.
All right. Good luck. Very complicated. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Ashley called us a bit ago, and she had guns a-blazing. She was going into the boss's office this morning, and she was quitting, and we might have talked her out of that.
Yeah, she is fed up with the treatment she's getting at work. She feels it's unfair because the boss has been having an affair with the newest coworker, and this woman is getting preferential treatment while she's getting passed over for opportunities, and it's created this uncomfortable work dynamic, and she has the proof. So that's the thing. Like, she's going, she wants to march into the boss's office, be like, you suck. You're married. You're sleeping with our new coworker, and deuces.
So we had a listener call up, Sarah. Everybody knows Sarah from HR.
Duh.
Sarah called up and was trying to talk her out of it. Like, go to HR first. You don't have to give up your career, especially in this economy. Jobs are hard to come by. So go to HR first. That was one option. The other option from Abby was just take it to TikTok.
I think TikTok is the way to go these days.
So Ashley is back here. Thank you for calling us back. What happened?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't take your advice. I thought about, and I needed to tell this man what was what. So I went in there and I did that. I went to his office. I laid out my whole thing, you know, all my frustrations, the favoritism, the unfair promotions, you know, and the fact that I know what's going on. And then I put the photo that I have of him kissing my coworker, which I didn't even tell you guys about. Another coworker of mine saw them when they were at a conference in Chicago, got a photo of them kissing. So I put that on his desk and was like, I know what's happening. And yeah, he went like totally panicked. It was crazy. Like, got so defensive, started like begging me not to tell anyone, admitted like he made mistakes, but like that he wouldn't really, like, he didn't really say anything like confirming the whole affair, but like clearly, you know, the way he was acting, it was crazy.
Okay, so did he offer it? What did that do? Because Sarah was like, that's probably the wrong thing to do. But, and don't apologize, you're not the first listener to take our advice and not listen to it. But now what? So you have him in a panic. Did you quit?
Well, I was going to, but he's like in there, like literally begging me, like, don't go to HR. It's going to like ruin multiple lives and like destroy the team, all this like ridiculous stuff. So I'm like, okay. And then he like makes me this offer. So he says he's going to give me a significant salary bump, which is like, it's a big bump. It's like almost like twice what I make. So like way more than I've ever asked for. And then he also offered me unlimited PTO approvals. He was like, if you need a break, just put it in. I'll sign it. And he even suggested that I could be next in line for like a management role if I just let it go.
This is the first time I've ever been I've ever been pleased someone didn't go to HR. I'm like, you really won in this situation. He didn't get that angry. He just got on his hands and knees and begged.
He's like, never come back to work and we will continue to pay you. Take as much time as you want. Here's the thing though, I just think you're leaving yourself really, really vulnerable.
Yeah,
he's offering all these things now. Maybe he gives you the pay, but you're going to be in there. Is he going to make your life hell? And without that insurance policy of HR, you've really kind of opened yourself up to anything that can happen, you know?
Yeah, I guess that is true. I don't know. I mean, I haven't committed to anything yet. Like, I told him that I needed a day to think about it. And yeah, he was literally like, go home, take a day off. It'll be paid. So I'm definitely going to take the day and just kind of like think it over. Because, I mean, you're right. I don't want to sabotage myself.
We'd have to get Sarah back on here. But I wonder if you could take him up on his offer and then go to HR. Seriously. So he gives you like the raise. He gives you all of this. Then you go to HR. He still has to do all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but it feels like bad karma, no?
The whole thing feels like bad karma to me.
I don't know. At this point, I'd take the money and run, girlfriend. Like I said, it's brutal out here. You do not want to get out on that job market. And if this man is going to pay you double, give you unlimited PTO, you still have that the proof against him. So you can go to HR at any time.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. He knows that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know. It's a pretty good offer.
That might be your insurance policy. What are you thinking, Cass?
I'm just thinking, you know, it's hard because I've always played by the rules and I'm a big play by the rules person. But the reality is life does not play by the rules and a lot of people don't. So at the end of the day, I would take the offer as it's given, but I would be very careful because if you put anything in writing, then it becomes extortion. Right. Like it could be spun to you blackmailing him for preferential treatment at work. So I worry about protecting yourself. I would say I would be hard pressed to walk away from that deal. I'd be like, okay, I keep my mouth shut and you like actually consider me for roles that I'm qualified for. That seems fair, but it's a very gray area.
It all feels so icky. It really does feel like
And
icky.
I just feel like this is not going to end well. I don't see how this can end well. Cause at some point in time, I mean, if another, like, he's going to get outed and now you're going to be in the mix. If I were you, I think I would walk away. And I know that's hard to do because the money, the monies and the PTO, and now you have all the PTO to use the monies. Like, I get it. I don't see how this ends cleanly.
No, this ends in a 47-part TikTok series. Get ready for those brand deals, girl.
Yep.
All right, Ashley, keep us posted, okay? I'm invested in how this rolls over the next couple of days and next couple of weeks, okay?
Yeah, thank you guys for your advice. I do appreciate it.
No, you don't. You didn't even take it.
Thanks, but no thanks.
All right, Ashley, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Hollywood lost another legend yesterday at the age of 89. Legend Robert Redford has passed away. He was at his home in Utah, surrounded by loved ones, according to a rep that put out a statement. Of course, he was known for being a phenomenal actor, but he also founded the Sundance Institute, which in 1981 helped risk-taking voices outside the Hollywood studio system. They also sponsor the Sundance Film Festival, which you might have heard of. He, of course, was also an Oscar-winning director for Ordinary People and starred in tons and tons of classics. Here's a clip of him talking about falling in love with acting as a young fellow.
But then something clicked that I just wasn't anticipating, and that was when I started to act, there was just a couple of moments that suddenly there was a click, and I thought, you know, I'm enjoying this. I don't know why I'm enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it. Something feels good about what I'm doing that I never dreamed would feel good. And from that point on, I had to accept the fact that art was probably going to have to be a hobby, that I had to pursue this new direction that I'd never anticipated.
You know, I think when you're looking back at your life, you want to believe that you have left a legacy. And his movies have touched so many different people, but his activism has really had an impact on people. So that's a guy that just left a wake of goodness behind him. And that's what we should all be doing with our lives anyway, right?
Favorite Robert Redford movie?
What was that? Favorite Robert Redford movie?
For me, it's The Natural.
Yeah, I was going to say The Natural.
Yeah, I forgot about The Natural. It has to be The Natural.
It's a great movie with Glenn Close.
Yeah.
The one that I'm most well aware of is actually a movie that my mom talked about all the time growing up, and that is the one where he starred in with Barbara Streisand, The Way We Were.
What a phenomenal Gatsby he was.
Ooh, an absolute phenomenal Gatsby. But here's a clip of him in The Way We Were as well.
But look, it's your first novel, and I'm sure the second one will be
great. What makes you think I'm going to write a second novel?
Because you must. You're too good a writer not to.
Are you really so sure of everything you're so sure of?
Sure. Aren't you?
No, not as sure.
You know, I heard it had a sad ending for my mom, so I've actually never watched it, but I have seen about half of it on TikTok. So thank you to social media for letting me indulge in the movie. So the Boys and Girls Club of America, do you remember we were talking about this, about the Emmys, because host Nate Bargatze, he said that he was going to donate $100,000 to the organization as long as nobody went over the time allotment for their speeches. Unfortunately, a lot of people did go over. Some people did say that they were going to pay the difference so that they could have their 10 extra seconds on the stage and have their speeches for the Emmys. But then it ended up being a final allotment of $350,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America, all from Nate Bargatze and CBS as well, which did a separate donation. But ever since Nate Bargatze has been talking about the Boys and Girls Club of America, the organization actually says that they have received more than double the amount of donations compared to this time last week.
Great.
So I think a lot of people are hearing all the good that they have done and, you know, want to pay it forward as well. And because every 10 seconds they saw all the people talking on the Emmys, they're like, you know what? I might as well donate $1,000 or so if, you know, the cast of Severance really wants to go over their allotted time allowance.
The Burt Show.